Welcome back to another episode of the Mindful Edge podcast, where we explore the intersection of leadership, well-being, and the real-life experiences that shape how we show up in the world. Today, we're going to do something different. Today's episode is about the woman behind so much of the brilliance, clarity, and leadership wisdom you hear every week. My co-host, and we're calling this episode Dr. P Unhinged.
Oh, Jesus.
She also approved this time. So, you guys, if you're listeners,
Kinda.
I know we talked about Dr. C Unhinged last time, but now it's Dr. P Unhinged. Welcome to your own show today.
Thank you.
How are you feeling? Well, on this episode about you?
I'm a little nervous. Don't look like that. I am a little nervous because I have crafted this this well clean brand, right? Mm-hmm. Like Dr. P. And then sometimes when people get to know me, they're like, oh, wow. Okay. Like, she's a real person. So I'm just kind of a little nervous. Okay. Go ahead.
This is going to be fun because usually you're the person that does a lot of talking on our podcast, I've noticed. Like, you're the one who asks the questions. You're the one who kind of like talks about things. But now I get to ask you the questions and you talk about just simply you. And I perused your social media and I couldn't find much. But that's besides the point.
So full transparency, it's the scrubbed social media. Okay. So I used to, and I kind of regret listening to like a brand strategist that I had a couple years ago, and they're like, you need to have Dr. P be more polished because the way you present is very polished. Now, I love to dress well, you know, because your mom and I. Yep. So people see that, my love for fashion and how I show up, but I'm really like a silly type of fun. Like, I think I miss my calling to be a comedian.
I can see that.
That's how my Facebook was. I used to do morning thoughts, and people were like, oh my gosh, you're hilarious. Like, I'm sarcastically funny.
Yes.
And then I had a brand strategist like, you don't need to do that. And I kind of regret listening to him because now people see like this polished Dr. P, which is me. But when I'm just in my element, like when people see me with you and I'm with family and I'm real chill, they're like, who is this lady? Like,
that's the lady I enjoy. It's the lady that I remember from our one episode with Stevie, and you were really like giddy.
Oh my goodness, yeah.
You offered her a pie that we're still waiting for because Thanksgiving is in 2 weeks.
Yep.
Right? Like, we're still waiting for those things. However, this is a great trend.
I'm waiting on a sell of sweet potato. The price of sweet potatoes to go down a little bit. I don't know how that's going to fare.
But this is a great transition into this first question.
Okay.
You've become a nationally recognized leadership expert.
Yes.
You're on stages, you're leading transformative programs, coaching leaders, parents, and entire organizations.
Mm-hmm.
But before Dr. P, there was just simply you. Who were you before the world knew your name? Before you became Dr. P at 29, correct?
Yeah. I got my doctorate at 29, but you guys, family, I mean, I'm Treacy, right? So I have to tell people, if you hear someone call me Treese or Treacy, that means they've known me my whole life. And that's really who I am. I always tell people, I'm this little girl from the hood. You know, I always say I'm Southside. People are like, no, you're not. I'm like, yeah, 1044 Bloom Street. Like, for real. Greenhouse. Like, for real. But those experiences growing up, those are the things that made me, where we have fun and we will walk to the corner store and get candy. And, you know, I always say the Junction neighborhood, you know, that's where my grandmother, that's where we were the majority of my life. It was vibrant back then. Like, it was vibrant. It was a really good working class neighborhood. So I have that experience. And then my mom's side of the family is privileged. Right? So that's where the bouginess comes in from. You know, her family, you know, we would say were middle class. Okay. She went to private school in the 60s, 70s, ooh, okay, right? Where that was unheard correct of for black families then. And I, in turn, went to private school, mm-hmm, K through 12. So having the privileged and the working class background, I think that's what gives me this unique ability to see people, to okay see organizations, to see all the things. But at the end of the day, what you see is what you get. You know, like, I like to hang out and stuff. Okay. You know, I do regular people stuff.
What's the regular people stuff you enjoy doing the most?
Hanging out with my friends.
Okay.
I love a good meal. Oh, my goodness. I am a foodie. So we have to, like, and I love the whole, like, I'm an experienced person.
Okay.
So I'll be like, okay, well, we can't just, you and I couldn't just take a train to Chicago because we got the boys. But yep. Let's just take a train in Chicago and I'll find a restaurant. Like, let's just go and experience it. Let's just take an Uber. I love to do things like that. Like, I'm planning a day trip to Cleveland to be able to go see, like, this fashion exhibit at this art museum.
Dope. Okay.
Those are the type of things that I just love experiencing new stuff. Okay. So, yeah.
So, experiences.
Oh, definitely. Experiences. And when Stevie was here, I'm a swag person. So if your vibe is matching it, like, I'm rolling with you. Like, what are we doing?
Okay.
Yeah.
What's one childhood memory that you feel like transformed you into the leader you are today? Or teenage experience?
I would probably say the death of my father. Darn it, I wasn't trying to cry on this episode. Okay.
This is the authentic part of it, right? This is who you are.
I would say growing up without my dad, in a time where my mother was left to raise us, my brother and I, you know, this was the love of her life, mm-hmm, right? She was left to raise us being a single mom. Mm-hmm. In the 70s and 80s, when being a single mom was a scarlet letter.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember being in the second grade in the private school that we went to. And I remember my teacher telling me that I really wouldn't be anything.
Wow.
That I was going to be like my mom, that I was going to be a single mom. I wasn't, you know, so mm-hmm, she kind of laid
this foundation
of who she thought I was, mm-hmm, but she never once asked my mother, how did you get here? Right.
Okay.
Like, how did you become a single parent? She didn't ask, you know, mm-hmm, that my father was in, you know, a very tragic accident, mm-hmm, and he died and my mom was left with two young children.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. But you spoke this over a child. That is one of the reasons why when I am in schools and I'm doing leadership training, especially to teachers and principals, I remember that little me. And I always say, as a teacher, do you want to be on the good side or the bad side of a child's story?
Makes sense.
Because that teacher I had in second grade, I know her name. I know what she looked like. I remember seeing her obituary. It took everything out of me. And my mother and them tell me, do not go to this lady's funeral and stand up and say two words.
Did you not? I hope you didn't go.
I didn't. Okay. I wanted to. Okay. Okay. I didn't.
Okay.
But that's like, so when people say, oh, that's Dr. P, I'd be correct, like, no, I got it in me.
Yes. People don't realize you do.
Don't take me there.
There's been a couple phone calls I've had. I made a status a little while ago, guys, and said I got people I can call that will fight for me. And she was the one person I was talking about. So people understand when I'm talking about certain people.
He's talking about me.
I'm talking about her. And it's not Dr. P I'm talking about. I'm
talking about Tracy.
So just so people understand that. But thank you for your vulnerability in that way of being able to talk about your father. That was one thing that I remember listening to our past conversations, mm-hmm, and some of the podcasts that it hits you every single time when it comes to that.
Oh my gosh. It does, because, you know, and luckily he was one of 11 children.
Okay.
So I had my aunts and uncles, especially, my Uncle Daryl. Listen, I talk to my Uncle Daryl every day. He is like my dad.
Okay.
But he hates it. He'll always say, I'm not your dad. I'm your uncle.
Okay.
He treated me like his
his daughter.
Listen, because I, you know, some people say, I'm telling my daddy, yeah. Oh, I'm calling my uncle. And I got a couple of them, right? But he was my dad's baby brother.
Okay.
And I talked to my uncle. He's in California. We talk at least 4 or 5 times a week.
Ooh, with like, a 3-hour difference.
Oh, yeah. Now, okay. He getting older, so when he calling at 8, 9 o'clock at night, California time, 60. I look at the phone like, oh, Lord, it's almost midnight. And you're going to be on the phone for about an hour, hour and a half. Oh, he talks all day.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness. And so Ruben made the mistake of meeting him. He even calls Ruben.
What?
Yes. So that's...
Ruben is like locked in at this point.
Yeah.
I hope he understands. If he listens to this episode, I hope he realizes he can't go nowhere. But besides.
Listen, I already told him this.
Okay. So outside of your uncle, mm-hmm. who are some of your other biggest influences?
You.
What?
Yes. Because you're like, you're so smart. Like,
thank you.
No, yeah, like I'd be like, y'all, Cecil is really like super smart. So really, all of my cousins, because like you're cousins, but you're like siblings,
mm-hmm.
And then my children, because you know they check me a lot, you know, and I've decided to raise my children differently than we were raised.
Okay.
So I don't do the spanking thing, you know, and that mm-hmm. people like, you don't hit your kids. I'm like, no. I'm like, but there was a progression to it.
Okay.
You know, I start in Cassie be like, well, you should spank me. I'm like, when you know better, you do better.
This is true.
Right. You learn. I was in graduate school and I started learning different things and the impacts. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I don't want
to have to deal
with that. But yeah, I would say family. I have some very close friends, and you know me. You know I protect my very good relationships.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's just even that I even mentioned Ruben, because you know for a while I just would put his initial
R was his name.
R was his name
for the longest.
But yeah, I have some people that, you know, you guys are my confidants. Like you guys are the only ones that see. I mean, what you say when I cry and slide down walls.
I was that's wild that you said that. I was literally thinking, as you were saying, when she slid down the wall at my house.
Oh my God.
And it was because of R or Ruben now. So I'm glad you said it out loud.
And it was all in my head. And you kept saying.
Like, chill.
Chill.
And I think that's why I think when people say Dr. P, I'm like, that wasn't Dr. P.
No, that was
Great segue into parenthood. You have two beautiful children, Aiden and Cassie.
Yes.
Talk to me about them. How was that helping you shape you as a leader as well?
So Cassidy, you know, she's soon to be 24. I had her at a time where I was still growing myself. I was 25, trying to finish graduate school. I remember having her, and about 6 weeks later, I was in my master's class, and I was nursing her. 20 years ago, where nursing was not nothing, and everyone's like, just give her formula, just do this. Mm-hmm. And you're like, no, I read. I took a class, and they're like, man, forget that class.
Correct.
That baby hungry.
Yes. Put some cereal in her milk.
Exactly. And I'm like, no, the doctor said, right? But she was my inspiration. She was the one that I said I wanted to be the mom that could be the field trip mom, that could, you know, volunteer at the school. So I intentionally, after my master's, went and got my PhD.
Okay.
Because I was like, this is going to give me the time to be able to be a good mother, because I knew I wanted to be a good mom.
Okay.
And so... she got to experience all the things.
She I would grew take up with you.
Oh, she grew up with me. I would have a research conference. She was right there. I go to conferences now and everyone's like, how is Cassidy doing? when it was time for her to go to college, does Cassidy need a recommendation letter? Right. Because they would see her at conferences with me doing her homework.
Ooh, okay.
Right. And so she has a slew of academic aunties and uncles that still keep up with her. So, yeah. So she was my inspiration. And I am just, I've always said I've been thankful to God because he trusted me to raise them. Mm-hmm. Because I always say they're going to have me on somebody's couch because I'm their mama. It just can't be your couch because you're their cousin.
Yeah, no, please, no.
But I grew and learned mm-hmm. with her. And then having to apologize for some of the situations that we were put in. You know, I was a single mom. And then that, right? Having to trying to prove myself, which now I don't care, but when I was younger, trying to prove I'm not going to be this quote unquote stereotypical single mom that you think a single mom should be. Mm-hmm. And I look back on that like, why did I even care? But I always remember what my second grade teacher told me.
That you'll always be a single mom.
Mm-hmm. That I would be a single mom. I wouldn't be this. I wouldn't be that. And I, you know, I really wanted to stand over her and be like, ha, you know.
To prove your point.
But as I've grown, and this is what I tell people too, we have to be careful when people, one, say things to us mm-hmm. that we let it grow root, mm-hmm. you know. But I was in second grade. I was 7 years old, right? I didn't have the capacity to not be able to let that sow into me. And that's why it's very important that as adults, we are very careful what we say to children.
100%.
Because it carries with them throughout their whole life.
Especially in those early developmental stages.
So what that 30, 40-year-old woman said to a 7-year-old who affected me, right? Mm-hmm. And so I use that as a reason to say I'm not angry at her. Mm-hmm. That was something that happened that I use now to help other adults not do that to someone else.
Okay.
You see what I'm mm-hmm. saying? And so I take that part of my role as a leader very important because it's not only things we say to children, but it's what adults say to other adults.
For sure. Mm-hmm. For sure. Especially to each other.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And words do hurt. Like mm-hmm. sticks and stones break your bones. Words do hurt.
I will tell people, I'd rather you push me down the stairs. Yes. Then you cuss me out.
Yes.
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 Because at least I can heal my broken bones.
Mm-hmm.
Those words stay permanently for a little while.
Yeah. Because how do you peel back the layers of your skin and go to your heart and take that word out where it landed?
You dropping gems on that one.
Because that is what, through therapy, and I'm very transparent. Through therapy, my therapist said that's how words, you can't peel back the layers of your skin.
Correct.
And get to your heart and mm-hmm. take that word out.
Mm-hmm.
You have to now reprogram
mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
your brain and your thoughts to not, when you're in a tough time, to go back to that negative word and say, yes, that word was correct.
Correct.
And that's hard as hell to do.
It's harder. It's harder to heal. You can do physical therapy to physically change a bone, change a muscle. It'll never be 100%.
Yep.
But to physically do emotional gymnastics is a lot different.
A lot different.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where, through my work, I've seen that's where it can make or break a leader.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's that internal work that we have to do. Because if I'm not healed or at least know my triggers,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to either tap dance on yours or we're going to create a whole mess together.
Now, you gave some info about Cassidy on your journey. What mm-hmm. about Aiden?
Oh, that Aiden Bear. Listen, when y'all see all the memes about that youngest one, listen, Aiden, even today, picked him up from school. I have a habit. I was scrolling my phone. Okay. Now, I tell him, Aiden, you got to be aware of your surroundings. You know, when we're going mm-hmm. to the store, put your phone in your pocket. Mm-hmm. Be aware of your surroundings. Look, see what's going on. Now, I'm in my phone, in the car, scrolling on my phone. The door is locked.
Okay.
Not paying attention. And he, boom, 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 on the window. And I jumped. And I'm like, Aiden, you scare your mommy. He's like, you should be aware of your surroundings. I'm like, you know what? Just get in the car. Put your seatbelt on.
Yeah.
Because what do you say after that?
Because he was correct. Because now he's correct. Using what you told him and taught him against
yes,
you.
Against me.
Mm-hmm.
And I just said, put your seatbelt on. Put your seatbelt. Then he's like, mommy, are you mad? I'm not mad at all. I'm soaking in exactly what you said, son, because you're correct. Humble pie. And then I'm thinking that would have never went down with my mama.
Aiden is the quiet assassin, I'll say.
Oh, I love that. Yes, he is.
Because he's been to my house a couple of times with his cousin Miles, and they've talked and they've played around. And I'm like, okay, Miles is cool. And I'm like, but Aiden, you are the very smart, quiet assassin.
Oh, listen, Aiden watches everything. He watches on every single yes. thing. And then he'll let you know, mom, we can't go back to their house. Or if you go back there, I'm not going with you because I didn't like such and such. And it made me feel uneasy. Like, his whole discernment mm-hmm. level is on 10. But when he loves you, oh, he loves yeah, you. He now, him and Miles together is hilarious to me because Aiden is real quiet because, you know, Miles is the boss.
Like, Miles is like the loud extroverted, quiet assassin at times as well. Yes.
So when they're together, they like bounce off of each other.
Yes.
Miles would be like, da-da-da, let's go here, Aiden. Aiden like, okay. And then I see him talking like, nah. Aiden like, nah, I don't want to do that. And Miles like, yeah, okay. We're going there. Like, and that's just so really dope to see because I'm like, wow, they really
are like similar.
Yeah, very, very similar. Yeah.
Now, how is it having been parenting a adult?
We got to take a deep breath. Okay. Okay. So at first it was difficult.
Okay.
And it was only difficult because I wasn't staying in my lane. Okay. She's going to hear this. So this is my way of apologizing.
That's why I wanted her to hear this out loud.
Yep. This is my way of apologizing.
Okay.
Because I was trying to tap dance on her stuff.
Ooh.
And say, I don't think you should make this decision. I think you should do this. I think you should do that. And she told me, this is my life. This is a decision that I want to make because this is what I have always wanted to do. And I'm going to get here. I'm going to put my best foot forward. And I'm going to trust God to whatever is going to be.
Has Cassidy been in therapy before? Because that was a very great I statement.
Listen. And I look, well, she maybe went to one session.
Okay.
But
she's that generation that knows a lot.
Yeah, she knows.
They know a lot.
Yeah,
yes.
She be on TikTok. And all that, you know.
They know a lot. Yes.
So I looked at her. I said, okay, and my mother is looking like, who's she talking to?
You're not going to knock her teeth out?
Yeah. She giving me the look like, now you being a punk. What type of parent is you? I'm like, mom, just let her have it.
Mm-hmm.
So the job that I wanted her to take, she did it.
Okay.
She ended up going to D.C. She's doing an amazing job there. She's working on the Hill. So she was
nice.
Impacted by the government shutdown and that.
Ooh.
She's excelling.
Great.
I'm glad I raised her to follow what her dream was. Because I don't know. You know, I kind of know, but she was right. It's her life. It's mm-hmm. her choice. I've made my choices. And then I thought, this is the best time for her to take these sorts of risk for her career because she doesn't have a family. Mm-hmm. She doesn't have children. She only has her. This is the best time
yes.
for her to take these calculated risks. So once Ruben was like, let her go. Let her do what
that
she
Capricorn.
Wants to do, that Capricorn. And she is excelling. I look at her and on the Hill and she's doing briefs and she works for a congresswoman. Like, I'm like, okay. But I was thinking, this job here gives you the stability insurance. And she like, I'm not worried about none of that stuff.
Well, we are proud of Aiden and Cassidy.
Yeah.
Okay. So now people see the now, right? Mm-hmm. The programs, the conferences, the media features. Tell us what they don't see when you're by yourself.
Ooh, well, one, sliding down the wall at your house. But I did tell him at the conference I spoke to, I'm like, I am the queen of the temper tantrum. So my family knows I am a brat. But what they don't see. So, you know, getting my PhD at 29 was hard.
Okay.
Cassidy was like 18 months. It was just hard. And I remember crying and wanting to give up. And it was my padir that, tough love. She was like, well, if you want to be a quitter, then go ahead. Ooh. What you going to do after this? Like, well, first of all, this isn't the type of advice I expected.
Correct. Yes, yes.
Because she was my dissertation advisor. Like, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, well, I ain't no quitter. Okay, I'm going to do it. Tenure was crazy. There's always, so I tell people, there's always something, especially when we talk about resilience, there's always going to be a situation that will try to dim your light.
Yes.
How you handle that will determine where you're going to go.
Okay.
And so every moment in my career, I was young. I was always the cream of the crop, you know. I'm always just working, doing my thing. But there was something. And I remember even though there's always something that will dim your light, there's always someone to grab your hand. So at each moment in my career, even when I went up for tenure, I remember I turned in my packet and I went up a year early. And they typically say, don't do that. But I'm like, you couldn't tell me nothing. I'm like, I got all the stuff.
Yes.
An hour before the final cutoff of the packet being done, and I had mine in early, the provost called and said, we're missing a letter from your provost at Miami University. I'm like, the hell? No, you're not. I know I put it in there. I had to call my provost at another university, like, can you hurry up and send this letter and fax it?
Ooh.
But if I had not had that relationship,
correct,
I wouldn't have been able to make that call. So those are the things. And then starting my business, oh, Lord. People make it seem on social media that being your own business owner and entrepreneur is fun. I mean, granted, I do have time, but I'm using all my time doing something.
Yes.
It's a lot. I love it. But it is pressure.
100%.
So they don't see the times where I'm stressing out. Okay, how am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? Who's going to do this? Okay, this is the next wave. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're in this anti-DEI space. How are we going to pivot?
Yes.
Okay, I have two subcontractors. I got two interns. I got to pay people. The contracts are slowed down right now. Like, mm-hmm. What am I going to do? And then I got my community service in the organizations I'm in and the leadership roles I have in there.
Correct.
So where I used to be vibrant on social media in terms of what I do for me scaling back a little bit from social media was self-preservation.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. What do you think separates you from who you are now and who you could be or could have been?
So this is the, I say, had I, I'm trying to say it without it sounding crass.
Just say it. Sometimes you just gotta say the first thought.
You make different decisions when you become a parent. So career-wise in the academy, I started my career at Miami University of Ohio, which is the public Ivy. Yeah, it is a public Ivy. Great experience. But because I was fearful of moving, and we lived in Cincinnati, Cassidy and I.
Okay.
but I miss my family. I didn't have huge support in Cincinnati. And that's where she started, went to school and all that.
Okay.
I was getting offers from all over the country. I mean, in D.C., in Georgia, and on the West Coast. And I was scared to go because I was this single mom with a kid, and how are we going to move all the way from Ohio to L.A.?
Okay.
Or all the way from Ohio to Atlanta and start over? Like, I was really fearful. Had I not been fearful, I don't know if you and I would even be having this podcast right now, because I wouldn't even be in Toledo. And so that's what I tell people all the time. Toledo will have you become common.
Mm-hmm.
So one of my favorite scriptures is, a prophet is not without honor except in his home and his own country.
I want you to repeat that. Say that again so people really catches that.
A prophet is not without honor except in his home and in his own country.
Ooh.
So I can travel the country.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, in April, they're doing, some graduate students are doing a 10-year anniversary of my book with my co-author.
Okay.
And so we'll be going to LA in April to do this, right? So mm-hmm. I walk into a room and everyone's like, oh my gosh, that's a Dr. B. Oh my God, can you sign my book? Can you do this? And I still sit on graduate students' dissertations.
Mm-hmm.
But in Toledo, oh, that's just Dr. P. People become kind of common. Like, oh, that's just her.
Is it because they have access to you?
Yeah. And that's why I try to limit the access. Because now, because you have access, you try to devalue my expertise. And I, you know, and then that's when I have to be like, no, I'm her.
Say it again?
I'm her.
Right?
Yeah, Google me. Like, for real. I have a Google Scott, like, so, and, but I try not to be that person, but then sometimes you have to be that person.
Do you remember that conversation we had?
Uh-oh, which one?
The one where you had to make a post about me, and I was like, just say it. Just say the stuff that you have to say out loud, right? Because
yeah.
Sometimes we dim our own lights versus others dimming our lights.
Yeah.
And this is no knock to anybody listening, but she has a doctorate.
Yeah.
Not a certificate.
Okay.
Not an expert. She has a doctorate. And not many people have doctorates. There's like, what, 3% in the...
It's not honorary either.
This is learning.
Yes.
I have an article at my house from a local newspaper that you have a doctorate.
Yes.
So that I received from your aunt, my grandma, that says you have your doctorate.
Yep.
Okay. Yes. So that's when people, the listeners, know that it's not something that you just grabbed out
no,
of the air.
That, listen, that my dissertation, I think it was 280-300 pages. Yeah, it was a long. I'm a qualitative researcher, so it was a very long dissertation.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now to the unhinged. We talk a lot about different parts, but the unhinged part, and here is the first question.
Lord,
what is one thing people think about you that is not true?
That I'm a mean girl. I am not a mean girl.
If you guys can see my face right now. Like, really?
I have heard the latest rumor that I'm a mean girl. And I'm like, I'm not a mean girl. If I rock with you, I rock with you.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't, I don't.
That sounds like a boundary.
Oh, it's definitely a boundary. Another scripture, hot or cold. Like, for me, you got to choose a side.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever side you choose the best one for you. And then I know how to deal with the side that you chose. It makes life easier for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I live. So I'm not mean to anyone. I just, yeah, I roll with the people that roll with me.
Okay. When did you feel most unlike yourself, and what did that moment teach you?
After I had Aiden.
What did it teach you?
Not to lower my boundaries. Tell young women that I mentor, don't ever make a decision when you are not your emotionally whole self, because those decisions will last a lifetime.
Okay.
And I realized that when I was looking at Aiden and dealing with what I was dealing with. I was like, okay, we gotta figure this out.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What truth about yourself did you resist the longest?
The truth about myself that I resisted and didn't want to deal, that sometimes I lead with my heart too much. Mm. I let people in sometimes that I know that I shouldn't have. And if I would have just went with my first mind.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So second guessing yourself almost in a way.
The minute you second guess yourself, you already lost.
The minute you second guess yourself is the minute you already lost.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
What's one thing you wish more leaders understood?
That your people are your biggest asset.
How does one, if as a leader, understand that? How do they understand that the people around them are their assets?
Well, as a leader, you can't like your people if you don't like yourself.
The therapist in me is like, well, go to therapy. But.
Well, yep. And as leaders, people won't follow you if they feel you have value judgments against them.
Okay.
And I'm not talking about, you know, whether someone believes in God type of value judgments. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about work value judgments.
Okay.
So your job as a leader is to figure out how your people work best.
Okay.
And so if I know Cecil is an 8-to-5 type of worker, great. If I know that Chris works best, his mind starts working at about 10, then if I'm doing the schedule, I'm scheduling you at from 8-to-5, mm-hmm. and I'm scheduling Chris from 10-to-7.
Makes sense.
And we're getting it done.
Yes.
Right? Those are the things sometimes leaders, because we get caught in this is the way it's done, how it's always been done. Well, we're in 2025. If anything COVID taught us is to be flexible and nimble.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we have to be as leaders going forward. And now you put an AI in the mix.
Listen,
you gotta keep moving with the times here, or you're going to be obsolete as a leader.
As I perused your scrub Facebook, the one thing that stood out the most was your hair colors.
Oh, yeah.
Right? the signature, I feel like, for you is your hair colors and your hair designs. And your why is your hair your crown for you?
Okay, so history-wise, two things. Black women have always used hair as expression.
Yes.
It was always a roadmap. It gave you inclination into who they were.
Yes.
And so my hair is a signal of how vibrant I am.
Okay.
Like, I'm an out-of-the-box thinker. Nobody was wearing blue hair until I started wearing blue hair. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Before that, it was red.
Yes.
And then before that, it was kind of like a pinkish purple. But that's really who I am. Now is blonde.
Mm-hmm.
And I do that with my hair, my nails, and my shoes.
Okay. So that's an expression of who you are.
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Dr. P.
Yes, sir.
But also in family, Treacy.
Yes, sir.
You have literally been raw, reflective, honest, and grounded. Thank you for letting people see behind the curtain. Now, as we wrap this up a little bit, what's the one thing that you would let the listeners know about you for them?
You know, I love people. I want everyone. I just want everyone to win. And so even like the people that hate on me, like, I still want you to win. Because if you win, then maybe you won't be bothering me as much. but no, seriously. I think if everyone is at a place where they're joyful and they're happy and they're content, it just makes everything else run smoother. So that is always my prayer for people. Like, give them what they need to feel their best.
Well, thank you for you being unhinged today and being open and honest.
Thank you.
Even though you didn't want to be.
No, I didn't.
But before we wrap up, we want to give a shout out to our dopest,
oh,
bestest,
yeah,
funnest.
Bestest.
I know all these random words. Chris Pfeiffer, our producer for the Mindful Edge podcast. Thank you guys. Take care. Stay present. Lead with your whole self. Check us out on all of the podcast episodes on Spotify, Apple Music, or Apple Podcasts, NPR, YouTube, where you can check us out, or at www.mindfuledge.org/ I think. All right, listen, that's probably totally jacked
it's
up.
It's www.gte.org/mindfuledge.
Yes, that's where you guys can check us out. So thank you guys.
All right. Love y'all double time.
WGTE. Voices around us.